We'll keep going to the right to Ezekiel. It goes Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14, a prophet in the exile, off in Babylon, tremendous prophet that God put many precious words on his mouth and in his pen as he wrote. But Ezekiel 14:3 has a very, very penetrating word. He said this, Son of man, he records the Lord's words, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Their idols in their hearts. What happens when you set up an idol in your heart and put before them that which caused them to stumble into iniquity? Should I let myself be inquired at all of by them? Am I going to hear their prayers? Am I going to listen to them? No. So we all whisper, you know, to one another and sigh of relief because we sure aren't worshiping Baal, right? We're not with Buddha. So we're okay on this one, right? Wait a minute. The New Testament says that idolatry is like covetousness. And covetousness is when I want something so bad that I want it. And I won't let go of it. You know, there are people that want security so bad that that's all they think about. There are other people that want money and finances and power so bad. There are other people that want pleasure of some form so bad that's all they think about. They're just, some people, they just want entertainment. They're just always, they just can't live without entertainment. There's some people that just, they just want recognition. I mean, there are so many idols. You know what an idol is? It's something that captivates you, that you want, that you become like, you worship it. Our culture. In fact, I love watching watching the picture of the 101st and the 173rd and all these other military groups. And it shows them out in the desert. Do you see those little tents that they're sleeping under? Have you seen when the winds weren't blowing them away? They were just kind of like camouflage netting. And they were sleeping under those. And I thought, boy, that's a return to biblical times, isn't it? When you didn't have anything to protect you, that one spear, one arrow, one stone, one bullet, right through that little nothing tent. You know, there's some people that are so prone to security. They worship security. I mean, they've got the gun in their bedstand. They've got the rifle close at hand, you know, always ready. They have the home security system, and they just are so security conscious, and they just worship security. Other people worship financial security. But what the Lord says, doesn't matter what idol you set up, it's anything that takes my place, anything you think about constantly. You want to know what your idol is? It's what you think about after 1 second of losing your attention, your mind reverts that. That's what's most important to you in life. For some, it's the worship of the lust of the flesh. Some, it's the lust of the eyes. And some, it's the pride of life. But if we are worshiping anything but Christ, it takes our attention away by default. When we are not focusing on something else, our mind goes back to that. And God wants that place. And if he doesn't have that place, you know, if you're a computer user and you make a mistake, there's always that thing that says restore default settings. That means it runs the way it was built to run. God built us to run seeking him first. And anything that causes us to leave that place of him being first and foremost is an idol. And what does it say in verse 3? If we have set up our idol, whatever form it takes, in our heart, then God says at the end of verse 3, should I let them, their calls get through to me? And it's a rhetorical question. What he's saying is they won't communicate with me. Number one, compassionlessly praying, those aren't put through. Unconfessedly praying, not agreeing with God about our sins, those won't go through. Number three, idolatrously praying. If there is something that we are actively longing for more than God, he won't hear our prayers. Here's the next one. Let's go to where we were in Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to plow through the New Testament from here on out. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Here's a fourth area the Lord reminds us of. And I call this to pray in an unhumble manner. In other words, I made all these words up, by the way. Spell checker went bonkers on my computer. You know, I was trying to correct all these. Unhumbly praying, unconfessedly praying. It just, the computer needed to get saved. I think it didn't like all those words. But look at what it says in Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues. They just want everybody to see them. And on the corners of the streets, they stand and they pull their prayer thing over their head and make a big deal so everybody would think they're great. No, the Lord says, I don't like that. I don't want that. He says, I want you, totally opposite that, verse 6, to pray in secret. Now, wait a minute. Does this mean public praying is wrong? And there are a lot of people that, you know, that they say, oh, it's not right to have public prayer in church. You know, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to pray in secret. Well, wait a minute. What were the apostles doing when they prayed? And what were the 120 doing when in the upper room they were praying publicly? And what was Paul doing when the people were praying and praying and praying? And when Peter was imprisoned and they had the big prayer meeting, what were they doing? It isn't saying that public prayer is wrong. It says public proud praying is wrong. And so when we pray in an unhumble way, unhumbly. Remember a few weeks ago we were looking at the throne of God and the seven geysers of fire and the four beasts with lightning between them. And every time they sounded the word, what did everybody do? Stand up and wave their arms and parade around? No, they all fell down on their faces. Why? Because there's something about the presence of God that humbles us. He is awesome and to be revered. He alone is reverend. By the way, that's why whenever I have a choice, I get calls all the time. How do you want your name on the program? You know, when I speak somewhere, the reverend, I said, have you ever read the Psalms? It says God alone is what? Reverend. I can't take his place. He is to be revered, not me. So I always, you know, pick, drop the rev part, okay? You know, we don't want that because he is. It's okay if you call your friends reverend, whatever. It's okay if it's on your dress labels. It doesn't matter. But in the Psalms, it says God alone is reverent, and we should humbly bow before him. And unhumbly praying causes our prayers not to be put through.